Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, there we go. Good morning, everybody. Bennett Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Everyone's a little worse for wear in here this morning, but super, super happy to be here. Super excited to join you guys. What a pleasure. What a pleasure indeed it is. And it feels so good to be in here this morning, all telling our stories of last night. And let's get to the intros quickly. I'm Woodsy. And that's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Paulie is still champagne soaked from last night. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, is not soaked in champagne, and neither am I. Neither am I.
Good morning. I thought maybe you'd be at like 12 when we went on the air, but you're not. You're very calm, cool, and collected this morning.
Yeah, I'm burnt out. That's why.
Is that
100%. Right. Yeah, 100%.
Went too hard last night.
No, I expend a lot of energy. And expended a lot of energy yesterday. It's not that I'm not fired up. I'm happy, but I'm also like, all right, well, great.
No guttural yell?
No, there's a lot of work to do. There's tons of work to do, man. Tons of work to do. We've been in this position before, and I'm super excited. I'm glad we beat the Braves, but I kind of expected to beat the Braves, and now, you know, the next level steps up. Going to go play the World Series favorites. The one of the highest payrolls in baseball, three MVPs at the top of the lineup. The Dodgers lay ahead, and I'm really, really excited about it, but I can't say the phrase I want to say, I don't think. BML over winning a wild card series. You know what that means? Here, turn the mics on. Right? I can't do it. I can't do it every day. There's business at hand, right? So I don't want to come in here and...
You don't want to pop your cork, your champagne cork.
Say something else. No, because there's so much work left to do. But it's not... I don't want it to be misconstrued that I'm not fired up. I'm extremely fired up. But, man, I just, you know, it's taking care of business. We got through this one. Let's get through the next one. Let's win on Saturday. So that's kind of where my head is at. But... So let's talk about our evenings last
night. Yes, very opposite evenings between you two and me.
Okay.
Like completely 180 degrees different.
All right, so question. Yesterday at the end of the show, I said, what's your plan tonight? And you said, I've got to go do the live hits in front of Petco and all that. And I said, well, no listeners better see you and yell Hawk Tua behind you or anything, which... I wanted them to, right?
Yes.
Then Paulie and I texted you and said, hey, where are you? And you said, I'm at the top of the Marriott. You up there broadcasting. Was that because of us?
No, that was that was apparently always the plan.
Okay, so you didn't know.
I just didn't know where, because the day before they were down at the bottom of the Marriott where you can walk by and people can, so I thought maybe, oh yeah, I bet we're going to get a lot of people. But no, they decided to go at the top where you can see into Petco Park. It's a really cool shot.
It's what you guys do opening day.
Yes, it's our opening day location. So we went back up there and I was field anchoring.
I told Paulie, I go, oh no, dude, did we make him completely
change. We scared the bunny.
We scared the bunny, and I wondered like, if he went to his boss, hey, we got a code red here. Woods has enabled the audience to come up and yell Hawk Tua in my broadcast, so we need to move it up to the Marriott. The people at the Marriott are like, oh, yeah, we can accommodate. Come on up.
So I heard your stories of seeing so many tier ones.
Oh, my God, man.
You know, on the field with Shiel Seidler and Manny Machado, and I was... And Cole saw me. I saw Ben running out of Petco on my way in. He looked absolutely flustered. I nearly had my Pauly college radio moment yesterday on television.
Oh, no, no, no.
So, yeah. So I was, I went in to the Channel 10 studios around 1:30 or 2, but okay. I had to put together like three stories because we're on from 5 to 7:30. So I did one on Joe Musgrove and one on Kyle Higashioka, took some of the Dylan Cease press conference from yesterday, and I am editing. I'm turning everything around. I'm like, okay, you know, cause I do my own work on television.
Sure.
Pauly does all my work here, but I do my own work on television.
You don't have a Pauly.
I don't have a Pauly.
What would you do for a Pauly?
I would love having a Pauly. I don't have a Pauly.
I am for sale.
Yeah, I don't have one. So I look at my clock and I thought, okay, I'm done. I've got everything set. It's like 4:10. And I've got to get down to Petco Park, park in the MTS garage, yep. And get over to the Marriott. I'm like, okay, 50 minutes. I'm okay. I'm running right at the top of the hour at 5 with Wale from the roof of the Marriott. So I start driving down and I realize, oh, it's going to be busy. It's playoff game, but it's the timing of it. You know, 5:38 start. Everyone's kind of arriving at this time. So I go down the 94. We're only like 3 minutes right into downtown, but the cars are backed up. You know, I'm sitting there slowly working in, get down. Finally, I get to the garage. It's like 4:46 and I am quite a ways away from my live shot. I got to walk all the way. This is where Cole saw me. I got to walk all the way from that side, the Imperial side, the Lexus lot side, yep. Of Petco Park, up around the top, back around all the way to the Marriott.
Why didn't you just park at the Marriott?
I should have. Like, I just I had my parking pass and just I was already kind of locked in because I was in the. Well, I just thought I had to have plenty of time. So at that point, it was too hard to. Like, at that point, I didn't even know if there was any spots available. The worst thing would be to show up to the Marriott and go, no, sir, we don't have any spots left. So I knew I had a spot there. So I start fast walking. And then I start really fast walking. As tier ones are like, bad, I gotta go. I'm just like sprinting past the tier ones. I've got my jacket on. I'm starting to sweat. I'm getting hot. I'm walking now down past, Social Tap and getting down that street. And now I'm starting to kind of... breathe a little heavier as I'm, you know, carrying my backpack and
your mind. Yeah. Your mind starts
going.
And
I'm getting worried because I'm getting late. You know, it's like 53, 54. I get to the Marriott. It's 22nd floor. I got to wait for the elevator to take me up. Fortunately, I didn't have to run up 22 flights of stairs, but I get up there and then there's another two flights of stairs to get up to because we're in the top, like, DJ booth. So
right.
Finally get up there. I got, like... 2.5 minutes to spare. Get my earpiece on, and I am right on the air going. And I don't think anyone noticed on television, but I was just sprinting up there, and I apologize to the myriad tier ones that I just blew off as I walked, you know, down every street in downtown with everyone going, Ben, we love the show. Yeah, thank you. And I'm just sprinting past them. And then, I was on TV for 2.5 hours until 7:30 when the game was, you know, obviously still up in the air, but at that point they need me back at the studio, so I just go right back all the way to the garage, get my car, go back to the studio. I never actually made it into Petco Park last night.
Sucks,
not even
dude.
For one second. They didn't scan my credential. I didn't even get into the ballpark.
So here's what I don't understand. Why did you not have gone at 7:30 into the park?
Well, but I needed to go back. There was no one. I don't have a Pauly, so I need to go get all the highlights, start cutting them, because I've got to record by like 10 or so all of our segments with Wale. I'm in the studio with them when they're taping their pieces, so I had to race back. It's just, this was a bad timing game for me, and I didn't really get to enjoy it. I watched the whole game, or the first, I don't know, 5-6 innings from... vantage point
you can possibly have on
top of the Marriott, where I can sort of see with a pitch. I see the pitch. I can see the umpire and the call. I mean, I can see what's going on, But obviously, it's not the best experience to watch a game.
Well, we went down early and did the thing, you know. And again, it's more of just being down there and talking to some of the guys. And got to talk to Manny, which is always a treat. I talked to Crony, of course, and talked to Sheil Seidler for a while, and that was very special. And I'll just pass along her message. She is just obsessed with all of you guys out there that mm-hmm. continue to keep Peter's memory and
she
legacy.
She sees you. She hears you.
She sees it all. She's like me. She sees the ends of Twitter every day, and she feels it, and she needs it, and her kids appreciate it, and her friend that was with her said to me privately how much she appreciates it. So keep that up. You know, I do feel like it's a huge, huge part of what's happening. And she couldn't have been cooler and kinder and nicer. And she is just, we shared some stories about Peter. And, you know, Paulie was telling the story about how the first time he met Peter, he showed up in pajamas. And, like, you could see her, she goes, "That's my man. That's my man." And she actually said he did not give an F about what anybody thought about him. And I go, God, what a brilliant superpower to have. And if we could all live a little bit more that way, I think that'd be great. And then, of course, the caring, the commitment, the heart, the passion, the empathy, all of those things. You don't find them in a regular human being, in a lot of regular human beings, especially one of that status. So she is the nicest lady. I'm so honored to be able to know her and talk to her. So that was kind of the highlight. So then Paulie and I, our grand plan yesterday was this. We didn't have tickets because we've got our press pass, which is only good through the next series, by the way. So drink it in. I was down there drinking it in because that's probably it for me. If you know, the Dodgers, if it doesn't go well, that's it for Paulie and I. We'll be watching from home. So we're walking around. Our plan was, Paulie said, "Hey, man, in like the first inning or second inning, you go online and you can buy really good seats for relatively inexpensive because
a fraction of what they were before the game.
A fraction, you know, a quarter." And I said, "Bro, I'm willing to spend $100 a piece
for us.
You're
getting a partial game.
You're getting a partial game.
You're already in,
yeah.
But you can get a seat for someone tried to sell them. Maybe ask too much and go, well, we better just take what we can get at this point.
Better than nothing.
Better than nothing. Yeah, it's you know, a decent policy, I guess, if you just want to make something." So I said, "Yes, Paulie, brilliant plan." I said, "Because what I don't want to do all night is just roam. I don't. I was tired. I want to sit and enjoy the game." So we're walking through the concourse. And again, to all the tier ones that stopped and said hello, you truly made our night. You wake up some mornings and you're like, "Oh my God, what are we going to talk about? Is anybody even listening?" And you're in here with your buddies and there's a microphone in front of you to hear some of the stories about how we've helped you or how much we've touched you or how much we've made your morning and made you laugh. It's everything to me. It's fuel. It's fuel for my body. And
met somebody from L.A. They said, "I'm surrounded by Dodger fans. You guys are my slice of home." We met a guy
from Portland
that flew in from Portland for this game. And he's like, "I listen to you guys every single day. Like, it's so nice to meet you.
To have you guys with me while I'm far away." So it was just, it was beautiful. And I loved every second of it. And I loved meeting every single one of you. It was so, so cool for me and Paulie. And so we walk through and I go, "Man, let's check the tickets." The game hadn't started yet. I'm like, "Let's check the tickets." "No, it's still like $300. Son of a bitch. All right. So I go, "Do we dare? Do we dare?" He looked at me. He goes, "Yeah, let's go." So we go up.
We should at least check it
we
out.
We should pop in. I mean, we should stop. I mean, our company has a suite. We should at least stop by and like glad hand a little bit. Say hello. So we go up to the suite. And I peek in the window and started walking toward the door, Michael Valenzuela, our big boss. And he goes, "What's up, fellas?" I'm like, "Hey, how you doing?" I was like, "You mind if we hang just for a second? We're going to buy tickets." He's like, "Come on in, come on in." I said, "Well, this feels weird." Because we don't even work at KSON. So that was the weird part for me. It's like, I don't play Morgan Wallen. Are you sure we're okay in here?
We actually kind of hate Morgan
Wallen. I kind of make fun of Morgan Wallen. Am I cool to be in here? He goes, "I heard your bit. I heard you saying you're not allowed, not near the suite. Look at you. Enjoy. Sit down and relax." So Paulie and I are looking at each other going, "All right, well, this is pretty great." Saw my buddy from EcoWater in there. We were chopping it up. Saw some clients. Met Spiro.
Spiro.
Oh, met cool. The Spiro and Mrs. Spiro,
yep.
Who introduced him as Spiro, and I'm Mrs. Spiro. We met them. It was great. And so we hung out for a while in the suite. And
by the way, potential advertisers out there, that's one of the perks.
Yeah,
jumping on board the 97.3 The Fan.
That's exactly
you
right.
You can hang with Spiro and Mrs. Spiro in the suite as well.
100%.
Next season here on 97.3 The Fan.
So we hung out for a while. We kept looking at tickets. They never really went down. And then I started to get the way that I get. I realized I don't get to see my boys in the morning because I'm up and out the door. I've tucked them in the night before. Didn't see him in the morning, left before they got home, and I got that panicky feeling that I'm not going to get to see them until Thursday at 3 o'clock. And I said, that's going to be about 36 hours of not being around for
then
my kids.
Then you're an absentee father.
Then I'm an absentee father.
And now they're going to have therapy for years.
Correct.
Dealing with how you abandoned them.
So I text Hannah, I go, keep the boys up. Daddy's coming home. So I went home a little early so I could tuck them in. And I'm very happy that I did. But when Paulie texted me the picture of the champagne in the locker room, I realized, I could have been there. I could have been there. I wasn't there, but it's a young man's game. But I can't do 36 hours of like, where's dad? Like, what is dad up to? Because I don't get to see him in the morning. So, you know, they're little. And I don't want to do that to them. So I was happy to go home and tuck them in. And Bo watched. Bo started to actually jinx the game, so I sent him to bed in the eighth because he wouldn't stop saying dumb stuff. So I was like, all right, it is bedtime. I was going to let you watch the whole thing, but I don't think I can handle this anymore. So I took him to bed.
Jason Adam thanks you for sending Bo to bed.
100%, dude. So I put him in bed, and all worked out. I want to hear all of Paulie's stories about being in the clubhouse because I've never done that. And is that your first time or second time? Second time.
First time.
First time with
in
the champagne.
The clubhouse. I've gone down like on the field after a game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, everybody got to go in there and just observe.
That's so cool.
We will have, obviously, the reaction of the celebration of the players. We will have the update, if you haven't heard it, on Joe Musgrove's injury, which, of course, was the key concern coming out of yesterday's game. We know some things. We don't know other things. But we'll let you know all about it. And, of course, we'll talk about another dramatic playoff one-run game that went down to the wire and had us all stressing out last night together as Padres fans, but they did it. They swept the Braves. They are going on to the NLDS against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And when we come back, in addition to setting the menu, I've got a show announcement. In fact, we're going to have a special Ben and Woods show, a little extra program coming up for you that you can actually join us live for.
The Roundtable?
This weekend. No, that's the. We have another extra show.
So that's two extra shows. Okay.
Between now and the next time they play a game, we've got extra shows for you and a chance for you to come out and hang with us and the 97.3 The Fan crew. We'll tell you all about that when we come back after our first check of traffic with Kelly Danik. It is a playoff clinching Thursday morning. It's good to have everybody. Look how many people are already in our YouTube stream. Good morning to you, San Diego. It's Ben and Woods and Paulie on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've reached a new country, Benjamin. You know, recently we had a guy in our chat from Italy. Of course, we have our beloved Welsh Friar. Scandinavia. Now, that's not a country.
That's not a country.
That's a territory, would you call it?
It's a grouping of three countries, I would say.
Finland?
Maybe even four if you want to include a little bit of Denmark.
Finland?
Yes.
Norway?
Yes.
And Sweden?
Correct. Very good.
I have such a Jones to go over there and see those places before I die. That's on the list of places to go. I'd like to go to Scandinavia, but he goes by Positive Surfer in the chat, and he said that he wears his Padres hat over there, and nobody really knows what it is. He said nobody's really interested in baseball. He says he shows them clips of Manny's home runs, and they're like, all right, whatever. It's so rad, though. Like,
If you'd never seen baseball before and someone showed you a clip of a guy hitting a long home run, that would be impressive. Like, wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like,
they took that little ball, and it was coming at them at incredibly high velocity, and they were able to use a stick to hit it 447 feet. That's pretty cool.
We got people in South Dakota listening this morning, people in Salt Lake City listening. This is really, really cool. Yeah, I would like to interview Positive Surfer. What are the... Somebody brought it up. I thought I'd bring it up. Diesel did, of course. The Swedish women. Is it just a bit, or are they really kind of what in my mind's eye I've painted? What do you think?
My wife is Swedish. Swedish heritage.
Descent.
Yeah.
I mean, the natives, like the ones that live there.
Right.
That's what I would like to.
I mean, I'm surprised that there's a ton of surfing. I didn't realize. I mean, they have a lot of coastlines, so I guess it was possible. I just assumed that the water was so incredibly cold that you didn't go in it.
Trevor is in Vienna, Austria this morning. Oh, my gosh. This is insane. Somebody's in La Mesa. Oh, thank you.
Wow.
Two places where you can enjoy Oktoberfest this weekend.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Boise, Idaho. Look at this. I love this, man. I love this. This is great.
Well, if you happen to be more on the local side of the listening, or you're traveling into San Diego this weekend, you can join us on Saturday. Come out to Alesmith in Mira Mesa to see us as we broadcast live from 2:30 to 4:30 to get you ready for the San Diego LA playoff game. Alesmith 394 Pale Ale is the official rally pint of the playoffs. Watch all of the San Diego postseason action at the Alesmith Tasting Room in Miramar with game day specials on 394 and more. Root for the hometown team with other fans while enjoying the game with sound. That's Saturday, 2:30 to 4:30 for us at Alesmith in Mira Mesa. Then stick around. We've got Sammy's pregame show and then the game up in Los Angeles. So looking forward to seeing everybody out there on Saturday.
Give me the times again.
2:30 to 4:30.
Alesmith.
4:30 pregame show.
Okay.
And then it's 5:30 or 5:38 again, I believe, for the first pitch that they'll have from L.A.
So. I would love to pack that place. I would love to see all of you out there. So I'm working on this as a little extra added bonus. You guys have seen the necklaces, right, that all the players are wearing. We talked about our buddy Ricky Huerta, who is the one of the Padres trainers, and his daughter has been making them.
Not the one that went out to see Joe. That was Ben.
That's Ben.
Ben Frazier.
Ben Frazier. We love Ben, too.
Love him as well.
But Ricky's daughter was making those necklaces, and we had a whole thing about it, and I was happy to facilitate as long as I didn't have to drive around and deliver. But a lot of people have gotten them, and I think I talked to Ricky last night, and I think his wife and daughter and come out to Alesmith. So if you want to if you want to buy them at Alesmith, come on out and do so. I'm going to double check and confirm it, but if that's something that you are interested in getting, I think they're going to have him there.
Ricky won't be there. He'll be in
Ricky's
Los Angeles
be in LA.
With the team.
And I'll tell you, my kids do not take theirs off. They wear them every single day. Now, I put one on. It's not for me. It's not for you. It's not for us. It's not made
right.
for us. It's like, you know, it's like Chapel Roan. Like, that's not for us. It's for other people, and I understand it, and I'm happy for them, but it's not for a couple of slovenly
right.
middle-aged guys.
It's like Morgan Wallace.
It's like Morgan
it's
Wallace.
For other people.
That's for others.
It's not for us.
That's not for us. But I want if you have it and your kids will love it. My kids never take them off. You can mix and match with your unis, your outfits, whatever. She's going to have those. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I am very excited to be out on Saturday. And I mean, we've got a lot of time to kill now between
we do.
And 5:30 on Saturday. This is a bit of a just catch your breath. It's going to, you know, the stress and everything is going to resume
it'll
briefly.
Come
it'll come back. But for this moment, like this day, knowing there's no game today.
Yes.
No game tomorrow. I actually can breathe a little bit. Stretch my shoulder. It's like, okay, we're all right for a second.
Let's talk next about just how close we got to having a game today,
we did.
My friends. And hey, remember, the underlying theme here is it doesn't effing matter. You won the game. You handled business. There is nothing to worry about now except the next step, and that's the LA Dodgers.
We'll get to our Padres wrap-up. Obviously, we are going to be talking Padres Braves and Padres Dodgers for the entire show. I will throw in that it is a Smart Baseball Thursday with Eno Saris. He will be with us at 8:35 this morning, and he will be talking Padres baseball as well, I promise you. So let's just get started, get to our Padres wrap-up with Jesse and Tony's highlights. What a dramatic second-inning rally with six straight two-out hits. You're going to hear it coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Now, being a lifelong Padres fan, I was surprised that I had to even look this up after the game yesterday, because I wanted to confirm what my suspicions were, and it was true. In 56 years, the Padres had never swept a playoff series of any length, ever. And they finally have their first sweep. Got the brooms out against the Atlanta Braves. 56 years. Not a 3-0 sweep of anything. They've always lost at least one game, even in the series that they have won. So they did it yesterday. That's the best way. If you want to keep moving on in the playoffs, you want the sweep. You want to keep your pitching as fresh as possible. Set yourself up for the next series. And the Padres did exactly that by taking care of the Braves in two games. There certainly were some moments, though, especially yesterday, where you weren't sure if they were going to be able to pull it off. We will talk about all of that and get into the highlights with our Padres wrap-up right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Musgrove sanded the belt, 1-2 to Ozuna. The pitch is swung on, hit in the air to left field towards the line. Profar races over, makes the catch. Gonna air it out for home. Here's the throw, not in time. Sacrifice fly Ozuna as Harris sped home from third base. And the Braves take an early 1-0 lead. 1-2 pitch is hit in the air to deep left field. Laureano is back. He is at the wall. Oh my goodness, it's gonna go. Kyle Higashioka takes it out for the second consecutive night, and a 1-1 game here in the second inning. Reed, big breath, he delivers. Machado swings, lines it into left field, that's a fair ball. Gonna bounce and roll all the way to the wall. Arise and Tatis have scored, Profar will be held. Manny into second with a two-run double, and the Padres in front, it's 3-1. Here's the pitch on the way. Merrill swings, sends it in the air to deep center field on a line. Harris is back at the wall. It hits up against the base of the wall. Pops back into play. Both runs will score. Merrill's on his way to third. A two-run triple. For all that is you, and Soler sends one a mile to center. Merrill's back at the wall, but he's not going to have a play. That is well up and out of here. A home run for Jorge Soler. Second run of the night for the Braves, and the Padre lead is now 5-2. Estrada delivers, and a ground ball to the left side. Manny diving to his left has it. Throws from his backside to second, one on to first, not in time. Nearly a spectacular double play turned by Machado, but able to get a force out at second, and there's two down. 2-2 to Olson. Here's the pitch from Tanner Scott, lined into left. Profar charging in. He's got it, and the inning is over. No runs, two hits, two left, and a big deep breath. 2-2 pitch, and Murphy swings and misses. Strike three. Went after the slider, and the inning ends on the second strikeout for Tanner Scott here in the seventh. Pitch on the way. Harris swings, sends it in the air, very deep to right center field. Jackson Merrill is back into the gap at the wall. It's going to go. A two-run homer for Michael Harris II. His third hit of the night, and this is a one-run game in the top of the eighth. 47,705 on their feet. Darno swings at the first pitch, pops it up, foul ground, first base. Up the line, Higashioka makes the catch, tumbles over Solano. He held on, the game is over, and it's on to Los Angeles. The Padres have swept the Atlanta Braves in the wild card series, and they will play game one of the NLDS at Dodger Stadium on Saturday night.
Feels really good. We can't do work in the future if we didn't get to this point. So great job, you know, good series, you know, it was a good ball game. They came right back at us, you know. They score, we get the five spot, and he kept taking good at bat, chipping away. We'll see what's going on with Joe, but boys hung on, bullpen was great. Big time win, move on.
Woo!
God, got me fired up, Skipper.
Padres,
come on,
advance to the
text
NLDS
him right now. Should I text him right now?
It's a little early.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
man,
they had a long night last night too, just like you did. Give him a few minutes.
All right.
Now, Padres
you might have had a little bit of a longer night than Woods.
Maybe.
Padres have led after 17 of the 18 innings so far in the postseason.
Yeah, but I saw your tweet. It made perfect sense. It was a wreck.
It was still a wreck, even though they've been ahead. Now, they were behind for the first time in the first inning. Joe came out, gave up the double to Michael Harris the second, and then a nice job by the Atlanta Braves moving him over, getting him in on the sac fly. While that was a battered and bruised and overworked team with injuries galore, they're still got some World Series champions on that team. That's a professional team that did not give up, that was ready to fight, came to play yesterday. So the Padres were down 1-0 going to the bottom of the first when they load the bases with infield singles. And you're thinking, okay,
all right,
blow the roof off the place.
The roof was the rivets in the roof were already coming loose when Manny strode to the plate, Ben.
And it's actually the one thing I feared was putting yourself in a position like that and then letting all the air out of the balloon by not scoring. Manny strikes out against Max Fried. Jackson Merrill grounds into a force out at home.
Two good swings and good contact, and then I think it was a fastball, just blew him away inner half. I was like, oh, no.
And then Xander hits a grounder into the hole, and they go for the force at second base. And Jackson Merrill, bang, bang play. Did not review it, but very close at second base.
Now, did you see the replay? Because I had people going, he was safe.
It was very close.
The naked eye looked like he was out.
If you were not listening, I thought one of the most astute comments I have heard, Eduardo Perez, I believe, mentioned it on the TV broadcast, and he said, Padres could have stolen a run there. If Jackson Merrill treats second base like it's first base and stays up and just runs all the way through it, he'll be safe. Now, they'll just tag him out after he goes past first base.
Run
but
scores.
That run at third counts. And it's actually something I hadn't even considered, but it's something apparently the St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago White Sox of all teams have started doing.
They're telling it earlier in the year, yeah.
Telling your team, if you got the bases loaded in two outs and you see like there might be a close play and they're going to second and you're the runner, don't slide.
Don't slide.
Run through it to keep your speed up. It's a bang bang play. You can save a good, you know, quarter to half a second, which is often the difference in a play like that. So, yeah, you're running out basically now toward left field after you're safe, and they'll just tag you out.
But
because it's no longer a force play, that run from third counts. And who knows, maybe the guy from second just keeps sprinting around and you can stay alive long enough to create some havoc as well. It was I had never heard that. It's a very advanced strategy that requires a lot of pre-planning and coaching, and I don't know if that's something the Padres worked on.
It's big brain stuff,
but
it makes sense, and it's relatively a new strategy.
It's not. Well,
you're seeing it more now, and it goes against everything that you kind of thought.
Well, so I was listening.
Plus, I mean, if you think you might be safe, you don't want to kill a big inning by making an out you didn't need to, and that was a really close play.
It was a really close play, and the crazy thing is that it played out 3 hours after I finished listening to Skip Schumacher on the Eric Hosmer, what is it, Breaking Balls or Digging Deep?
Breaking Bats.
Digging Deep.
Digging Deep.
Digging Deep. Podcast where Peter Moylan, Eric Hosmer, the other guy, they're all talking about how the Cardinals would do that for years, right? There were standard things in the Cardinals organization where they would sprint through second, bases loaded, two outs. And I went, wow, okay. So it actually surprises me, Benny, with, you know, kind of one of the true believers in the Cardinal way that didn't happen yesterday. But it was wild. Like, they just brought that up. That podcast, by the way, I haven't listened to a lot of the Hosmer podcast, but with Skip on it, I did. Brilliant. Brilliant, just as a side note, listening to his baseball insights and strategies and culture talk was incredible.
So you have that disappointment of not scoring any runs after loading the bases with nobody on. You wonder, okay, well, I mean, is this a bad sign for what's to come? And the Padres get through the top of the second, and they go to the bottom of the second, two quick outs, and I'm going, yep, Max Fried, that was your best chance to get him. He is now probably going to be locked in. Sometimes those pitchers, you don't get to them in the first inning. It's hard to start scoring off of them. And then all of a sudden, the game changes with one swing from from now Mr. San Diego postseason himself, Kyle Higashioka, who homers for the second straight day. And man, I mean, what an instant flipping of the switch. That follows with three straight singles, a rise lines one to center, two more infield singles. I mean, the Braves, if you're a Braves fan, you're going, these infield singles are killing us by the San Diego Padres. And then Manny, how often do you get a chance with the bases loaded in the first inning, you don't come through, and you get a chance in the very next inning to try it again?
You ain't getting him twice.
Bro, that was unbelievable.
And you felt good about Manny's chances in that spot.
Well, he was
he took a pretty flat sweeper, a get-me-over sweeper, and did what he does. Off-speed stuff, Manny's so good, into the corner for the two-run double. And then Jackson absolutely just launches one to center field. Michael Harris does not let balls get over his head. He is really, really good. He gets a great jump, plays pretty deep. No one gets a ball over his head. But Jackson hit that one so hard that even Mike's the second could not make a play on that
for
the two-run triple.
What a moment. Two-run triple for the kid. That was your pick to click yesterday.
Paul, two hits, got a double and a triple.
I'll call that a click. How many RBIs for him? Two?
Yeah, two RBI.
Paulie, who was your pick to click?
Manny.
Okay, Manny.
Big swing. Woods, of course. I said, why not just take Fernando Tatis Jr.? He had three more hits and a walk. Is an absolute playoff stud, right? You went with Fernando Tatis Jr.
I did not.
Oh, that's right.
I went with the X-Man.
Still looking for his first postseason hit. Hey, it'll come maybe against the Dodgers on Saturday.
Yeah, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. But I'm not super encouraged by what I've seen at the dish so far, but there, like you said, there's time to figure it out. But yeah, man, it was electric. When Manny hit that ball down the line, the place went insane. I was buzzing, like my body was buzzing. It was like being on something. It was crazy. My head started to hurt, like it was wild. And then Jackson just caps it off, and
you hit for the team cycle, all with two outs.
Yeah,
single, double, triple, homer.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch on my phone from the roof. Like,
they don't have TVs up there.
Not where I am at the top. I can't see any television, so I've got my phone streaming. It's like 80 seconds behind the action. So I hear something going on, and rally towels waving. I'm going, all right, wait on it. What was it the entire time? To see exactly what just happened on the play. So Padres, five runs. It's just the third time in postseason history that a team has collected six straight two-out hits, and the first time in over 20 years that it's been done. And that was all the offense the Padres would get in that game yesterday. Now, they hit the ball on the button a lot the last few innings. A lot of Adam line drives and deep flies that just didn't turn into anything. It's not like the offense, I thought, went away or disappeared. They just, you know, ran in, I think, some tough luck later in the game. But that let the Braves, that Braves bullpen was outstanding in the series. Their starters gave up, eight of the nine runs? The bullpen, though, is outstanding. And they took Max Fried out, and they just kept putting up zeros and giving their team a chance to come back. Obviously, Joe has to leave the game in the fourth. We'll talk about Joe's injury coming up here at the top of the hour, and we've got some sound and give you the full update. But you know, the Braves stay in it. They get the solo home run from Soler in the fifth off Hoeing, who went an inning and a third. But, you know, it's 5-2. It's like, all right, you still got a bit of a cushion.
Yeah.
Great job by Tanner Scott getting out of the two-out jam with two on, relieving Jeremiah Estrada. And then Jason Adam comes in the eighth. And, you know, he had pitched against that same part of the lineup in game one.
Yeah.
So they're getting a second look at him. And three pitches in, it's a two-run home run. And this game is a one-run game. Michael Harris II was a tormentor of the Padres in this series, and he got a hold of one. He was sitting on something or saw something he liked. And at that point, you got six outs still to get. It's a one-run game. You lost Joe. You lost the momentum. And you're just wondering, can the Padres hold on here, Woods? Can they do it? And Jason Adam, which is probably one of the hardest things to do in baseball, to give up, hit home run on your first three pitches, to come back and go, all right, 1-2-3, and hand the ball over. And there really was no choice of the matter who was getting it after you had already used Scott and Adam. It was going in Estrada. It was going to be Robert Suarez. Do or die in the, you know, no insurance at all. I mean, I was begging for insurance runs in the bottom of the eighth. Please, anything for an insurance run here. Didn't get it. He had to, with no safety net, walk the tightrope. And he got the three outs. He got squeezed a couple of times.
He did.
And still he's got the
102.
Three outs.
I'm telling you, I wasn't nervous at all. Not even a little in the
really?
Night. Not even a little. Really.
I felt like I was a wreck, and nope. I'm usually the one who stays pretty calm.
I don't know what happened, but a serene calm washed over me once we got out of the eighth, and I went, Bobby's going to get it done, man. And he did, too. And again, he got squeezed on that one, and it, you know, more hard contact. Great play by Jackson Merrill, certainly. You know, saves the game there. But there's this misconception that closers can't give up hits or can't give up hard contact. They can. They can. And you got a good defense behind you. He pounded the zone. He didn't walk anybody. And it was just, it was perfect, man. It was perfect, perfect. And doesn't matter how you got there. Adam made me really nervous, in the eighth, but man, talk about buckling down. And these are all things to build on. You know, every single thing is something to build on for this team and gives them the confidence to know, yeah, man, we can bend a little bit, but we're not breaking. And I loved it.
The
loved
one,
it so
of
much.
Course, concern is the health of Joe Musgrove. And when we come back, we will hear directly from Joe's mouth, talking to Tony Gwynn Jr. after the game, what happened, how he felt, and what he thinks his prognosis is going forward, coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.